Good evening, everyone. This meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District Regular Board Meeting to, I would like to call it to order at 7 p.m. Roll call.
Avery.
Here.
Sias.
Here.
Lucaro here. Olson.
Here.
Amy.
Oh, here.
Here.
Boyer absent.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall?
No. I shouldn't say that. I know.
Okay. Consent agenda. Is there any items that anyone would like to be removed from the consent agenda? Ms. Olson?
I would like to move to remove item 1A, the minutes of the July 18, 2022 regular board meeting from the consent agenda.
Okay. Are there any other items? Okay. I will hear if I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda minus item 1A.
So I'll make a motion. Trustee Lucaro making the motion.
Trustee Daney second.
Roll call.
Boyer, absent. Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, items 1A, Trustee Olson.
I would like to move to make the following corrections in the July 18th minutes. On page 2, under reports, item 1, the second from the last line should be corrected to reflect as follows. Should be completed the last week of July. It's currently written as June. This was the July meeting. The second item that needs to be corrected is under B, item B, page 2, under reports, item 2, I want to add, Trustee Olson asked if the library would be making masks available to employees who didn't feel comfortable with the barriers being removed, end quote. And those are the only corrections that I noted. Okay.
Are there any other corrections anyone would like to make to item 1A?
There should be an addition on the minutes, on page 3 of the minutes, under 7, about the FOIA request. It indicates here Trustee Olson submitted the FOIA request. Now, it went at the beginning of that topic, it was not known that you originated the FOIA request. During further questioning, it was why the envelope was returned to your home address, and at that point, that's when we learned that you had originated the FOIA request. I think that should be noted.
Any others?
Me emailing that to
him. Okay, I will entertain a motion to approve items 1A from the originating consent agenda with the amendments noted.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Sias. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Olson. Roll call.
Boyer, absent. Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay. Reports, questions, and comments. Anybody have anything? Trustee Olson?
I would like to make the following comments. In reviewing the financial statements and the bank statements, I noted that our interest income was up to nearly $1,000 in the month of July. We did get the 0.35% earnings on the Fifth Third Bank, but this is substantially below what even we're earning on the Illinois funds, which paid us 1.7% in the month of July. So it's something that we need to continue to press forward with. I believe looking at the disbursements history from DuPage County that we should expect before the September board meeting that we will have received an additional $1.1 million in tax revenues from DuPage County, the second tax payment, which the due date for is August 31st, and the disbursements typically come in the end of August from DuPage County and 10th and 11th of the following month for the remaining balance that they've collected at that point. I have a couple of questions in regards to the director's report. In her report, she indicated that in the Evans and Son contract for the paving, that there were a couple of items that weren't complete, but she also noted that there were two lights damaged on the ramp, which she attributes to the architect. And then
what to the
curious in terms of why it would be attributable to the architect?
Not to the architect, I misspoke or misbroke. To the people that were doing the actual work. We believe, Larry and I believe, that when they were doing the concrete work, that the conduit or the electrical lines got damaged. So we feel it's their responsibility because we know that those lights were working before that installation of the ramp.
So that's, but that was under the purview of Evans and Sons.
Correct.
It's really their liability that we're looking
at. Yeah, not the architect, I apologize.
Thank you. In the maintenance manager's report, there was a comment about getting quotes from Green Bay for additional exterior lighting problems. And I'm curious in terms of what that was, seeing as how we spent a substantial amount of money last year.
He's asking about the exterior lighting, the issues that we had with the timers.
Right. It all led up to the outside ones because they're all tied together. So once their electricians were able to disconnect them, the wires for the ones that aren't working, that are broken underneath, we were able to get the other ones to come back on. So the only ones we have out are the two by the stairs right now. And they couldn't get their fish line to go through to it, which means it's probably collapsed underneath the ramp.
Under where?
No. Okay.
Where did the collapse occur? Or where do you believe it occurred?
He wants to know where the collapse occurred. Is it under the ramp?
Yeah, because they can only push the tape like this far. So once it starts to turn underneath the ramp, it won't go no more. And that's where the line runs. Supply the two lamps by the stairs.
So he was referring to a quote for the repair of the lights on the ramp.
Oh, okay, so yep. The same project.
Correct. Just in case Lewis and Sons comes back and says that they're not going to take responsibility for it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I also want to note that while in July we had 170 new library cards issued, we lost 175. So we had a net loss of 5 cardholders in the month of July. While the number isn't as substantial, it's still headed in the wrong direction. I also have a question in regards to where we stand on recruitment of the marketing manager. And let me preface this in terms of why I'm particularly concerned about this. In June, when the Finance Committee met and we talked about the potential RFP for management of our excess cash funds, the director indicated that she would not be able to do that until August, possibly, or September, because she was devoting all of her time to marketing. And when lack of marketing becomes such that it impacts the ability to get other important work done, I'm concerned. So, have we made any progress on?
Carol and I went through applications today, and we chose some that we would like to begin interviewing.
I am also concerned about something that happened at the June board meeting, and I found through FOIA was verified through communications between Director Nance and President Trustee Hopkins. And that was that the director informed at the June board meeting, after the meeting, she informed Trustee Daney that she was not going to be working her full 7.5 hours on a daily basis because of childcare problems. And then on the 23rd of June, communicated to President Hopkins that she was not going to be available for full 7.5 hours, that she was going to be working 7 hours a day. I have three issues here. Number one, the director works for the board. They don't work for a single individual on the board. I believe this should have been brought up to the board at the June board meeting, not sent out or specifically cycled to individuals on the board. And it is not the position of this board, as we wouldn't expect special accommodations to be made for any parent because of child care issues. I have a real problem with that. I think we have things that need to be addressed. I understand that she has benefit time, but when I look at her timesheets and I see
work 2 days
and absent.
No, I don't think so. I think you're out of line. I think you're out of line. This is something that maybe should be more in a private executive session instead of your broadcast. This is Trustee Daney talking. I just think that sometimes when you have an agenda and you almost every other month make it purposely towards an individual person, certain things should be in an executive session. I just think you're out of line.
I specifically asked for this under FOIA.
Understood.
So that it was public information.
She's also salaried, but you still work your way to embarrass people. And I think sometimes you're out of line. Most cases you're out of line.
Well, I think you're often out of line too. So, you know.
That's agreed. I can be. But sometimes people need to be told to.
Those are the comments, but I am seriously concerned about what's being allowed to occur.
Okay. Yeah, so are we.
Does anybody else have anything?
I do. I wanted to say, whoever did the painting on that hydrant outside, that is so incredible.
That was
really
a
cute.
Do you remember her name?
Chris. Her last name. Her name is actually on the fire hydrant.
Yeah, and I'm going to post it on Facebook tomorrow.
Maritodi? Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it, but yeah.
Very cute. Really cute.
Also, I believe there's a map. The village has a map of all the hydrants.
Right.
And who painted them? People can vote on them.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I got it. I think a tweet from the village had the link to it.
Well, thank you.
I believe they're on the public, or on the village's website, all of the ones that have been decorated. There's pictures. Of
if anyone got the Bart letter, then that's on there with, you know, who to go to. It's a separate company that's doing the voting.
Right.
Anyone else? So vote early and often.
Okay, let's move on to the action items then. Action item one is the capital needs assessment review and approval.
So at this time, I would like to invite John Shales from Shales Magnet to come up. I sent out a whole bunch of documents for you. I apologize for the size on some of them. We were having printer issues, but it's also very readable online as well. So I'm going to turn it over to you, John.
Good, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity just to come and kind of share about the report. I trust you've read it. I'm not going to read through it all at that point. Maybe just to hit some highlights and then certainly ask or answer any questions you might have. But big picture wise, your building's in really great shape, you know, especially for the age of the original building and the couple additions to it. Very pleased to see that overall. Certainly you have a few bigger items that are coming up, and that's kind of the purpose of the report, right? So in the report, there's certainly identified in there some items that are of more critical need at that point, but then also some things that are a little bit more discretionary in nature too. So there's kind of the combination of both in there, just to kind of address that from the beginning. But overall, kind of just painting through, the masonry on this building is in great shape. It's a good brick. It's a solid brick. It's not showing a lot of effervescence. I do these kind of reports for libraries probably 10 a year kind of thing, so one a month approximately. This is really just a good sound masonry building. Of course, all masonry buildings need a little bit of love occasionally, right? So there are a couple things to bring forward in that. Structurally, the wood structure of this building, even with the components that are exposed to the outside, are in great shape. The architectural feature of some of your structure coming through front entrance, but also the ends of the beams that come through, that can be a source where you can imagine where that might rot and whatnot. That's not the case. They're solid. They're in great shape. They just need a coat of sealer to going forward. Ceilings, that's very common. Almost all buildings that are over 20 years old need some ceilings to be taken out and replaced. Other than that, some landscaping items, your bathrooms. Actually, your bathrooms are very sound. They're in good shape. There's not loose tile, for instance. One of the libraries I did here a month and a half ago having some loose tile. That could become a tripping hazard, could become a sharp cutting issue kind of thing. You don't have that at all. It's in good shape. Are they a little dated? Sure, but that's more of an aesthetic thing. We did incorporate the costs for redoing your basement or redoing your bathrooms in the report, only from the standpoint of just to kind of give you a heads up what that could be budget-wise at that point. It's not necessarily a recommendation that you have to do it. That's a good example of more one that's a little bit more discretionary. One that's maybe less discretionary is, for instance, your elevator. So your elevator is getting older, the controls are getting outdated, and your youth department is on the second floor. Your elevator gets used quite a bit. If the elevator fails, it's going to be a bigger hit to operations, and functionality for your for the community at that point. So that's one of those things that I tend to like to bring forward a little bit more to be proactive about. That and things like your boilers. Your boilers are older, beyond their useful life. They weren't the highest end boilers to begin with, to be quite honest. So we kind of recommend those a little bit more, not forcefully, but a little bit more, I really should watch that one kind of thing. So there's a couple items in there that are really more important. And there's some items in there a little bit more discretionary. Kind of give you a scale by which to kind of look at those things. And really the intent of these reports, by the way, is that one, it's to inform the board, kind of let you know about your building, but it's also to be a tool for your staff to kind of go through and think through and prioritize together. Larry and Carolyn and I met, gosh, a couple weeks ago, I guess it's been at this point, kind of talked those through in details. Typically, I would have one more follow-up meeting with them just to kind of talk those things through as it's kind of settled in their minds, to kind of come through it and to help put that plan together. So when you see the spreadsheet that's a part of this, that's probably the most used document over the next, say, 5 years by the staff. But then and we've put costs in years at that point, but there is some flexibility where those can move back and forth, really based on, you know, staff's knowledge of the building and budgets and priorities and things like that as well. So just to kind of put those things out there, some people read this report as set in stone, and we have to do it that year. That's not the case. There is quite a bit of flexibility to it and thought that goes into it as well. So. Yes, sir.
I wasn't surprised by most of the report, but I was surprised at the amount related to the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I was dumbfounded when I saw upwards of $250,000 for two main bathrooms, and yeah, I think we have three other smaller bathrooms.
What, and the report didn't seem to indicate that there was anything major that needed to be done.
Correct.
Are new fixtures and finishes that expensive for bathrooms? Or are there things that we may not be ADA compliant with that would be part of that cost? I'm reaching to try to understand the big cost.
So I have this conversation with clients almost daily. It really costs that much. So one is the inflation factors that have been going through. You know, you see the news, so you know, inflation is 8-9%. Actually, there's a report in Construction Magazine. Year over year, construction's up about 20%, a little over 20%. So there's some crazy things happening in the industry that I try to fold into this. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is also on things like your major HVAC projects, your major bathroom renovations. There's also costs for an architect to come in. You'll have to pull a permit for that. There will be design associated with that. So those are not just the cost to replace materials. It's the cost for design services, permits. It's kind of incorporating all those soft costs on a percentage basis too. So that adds a fair amount to the cost as well, on those bigger ones. Things like painting or replacing tile, I tend not to put those factors on because you don't really need permits for those. But on those bigger projects, I want to make sure I've got you covered. It's really kind of the default. I want to be to the conservative side of those numbers. And if you beat them, that's a great win when that comes through at that point. But I just think that's just good planning, associated with a report like this, especially when you're looking years out. And if inflation keeps going the way it is, my goodness, that might not be big enough, right? So hopefully that's not the case, by the way.
So the total roll forward is roughly $3 million over a period of 12 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what the spreadsheet is showing. I think that comes out about $250,000 a year. So now you can't space it like that because some of your projects are bigger than that. But yeah.
So well, when we get into our HVAC systems, we're talking at more than $550,000, I think, was one of the year numbers.
Yeah, one of the year numbers on the, well, in your light fixtures too, but the HVAC systems. Yeah, just under 500,000 was It's a good example. So if you look at the the spreadsheet, by the way, Carolyn's got it in her hand there. If you look at the HVAC, you can see that I did group a number of items in year 2024. You know, they replaced the boilers, refurbished the air handling unit, revised air handling unit to VAV. I did purposefully group those things together, believing that you're going to get economy of scale. You know, if you took those things and try to spread them out, you know, one a year, you're going to be spending more than that. And it's kind of disconnected. So we really try to group things together along those lines, too. And we thought that was a good grouping. While not doing all of the HVAC, that was a good grouping of trying to get those things done at the same time. So there's that kind of thought process that tries to go into it as well.
The boilers as an example.
Mm-hmm.
At whatever point we do that, we're physically probably going to have to open up part of the side of the building in order to move those in and out.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
How did we accomplish? I mean, that they're what, 25 feet long?
Yeah. So the existing ones will go out in pieces, right?
Right.
They're not good. And the new ones, newer ones are much smaller in size. So you do have good access through your stairwell back here, as well as your elevator is a good size carriage, as well as door configuration at that point. So I would anticipate that you're opening, that would be significantly expensive to dig down into the basement and create an opening. Yeah, I guess worst case scenario, you could actually go through the air intake shaft, right, Larry? I mean, that's actually, that might be convenient at that point, because the air intake, you can take apart some ductwork at that point. You have a large opening well. So if you really got into trouble, I'd go that route, and taking apart a few pieces of ductwork way cheaper than taking out a wall. So I think there's good opportunities to get new equipment down into the basement, cost effective.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question about the carpet replacement. I know these are like the rolls. Do you do the carpet tiles? Because I know I've worked in a retirement community, and that was so much better for repairs. Just, you know, be a nice pattern. You can do that. I mean, there's a preference to that.
Yeah, we recommend that. You know, that it's much easier to maintain, and if something goes really bad that's uncleanable, you can take out a piece at that point. So, yeah, typically. You know, all the libraries that we're working with are using more of a panelized system, and those can be 2 foot by 3 foot. You know, they're not just the squares.
Right.
These days
no, they're
good
size.
Yeah. So
that's what
yeah.
we did when we did the renovation.
And you know, I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that we'd like to do in here too is to kind of phase through what we've seen very effectively in libraries, in particular, is that to not try to save up money to do the whole building all at once. And then it all kind of comes due again all at once. It's kind of every few years, do a section, do carpet and paint. And the community really enjoys that from the standpoint of, oh, you know, this is fresh and new. You know, and it feels like there's always something fresh and new in the building at that point. So we kind of set up our maintenance recommendations based on that as well. So just set aside some money, do an area. We really don't designate which area you do first, right? That's really for staff to kind of figure out what makes sense, or community feedback even, right, of what areas needed the most at that point. But it gives you kind of planning for keeping areas fresh at that point. So it's kind of one of those subtleties that's in the report as well.
Thank you. It was a great report too, appreciate it.
Yeah,
you bet, thank you. One other question. I'll call it brick structure along the street that's basically holds the sign, it has a bicycle rack. I don't think it's been used for bicycle racks probably since this building was added.
It's not very convenient, is it? Your bike way down there. I'm gonna get over here.
I don't see any reason why we don't put a lot of repair, perhaps to make just demolish it.
Sure. Yeah, this is kind of more of a maintenance report. It's not a demolition report. So.
I'm just
but I don't disagree with you. That went through my mind as well. That's you know, it's kind of oddly placed, especially with regard to your main entrance and whatnot. Maybe it's just better to kind of just get rid of it and use the sign. Getting signs through City Hall and whatnot is kind of difficult. So I think really hard before I gave up a sign wall. So you might want to maintain that one wall and kind of get rid of the rest. But the thing that amazes me the most about that, just to be honest, is without that top layer of brick to protect, where rainwater can go right in the pores of all that brick is in great shape. To me, that just tells me that you've got great brick on this building that can really, it's just a great product at that point. It's not deteriorated as much as it could.
I think the location of that, when the first building was built, I think the entry off of Bartlett Road was a different point. And I think...
Oh, was it in that corner?
The door was closer to the bike rack.
Yeah. Like in that
region. I think it was moved when the Park District got ready to develop their part of the site and the their community building was put up, and it was aligned with the street so that there could be a light. So I think that's part of why it probably is situated where it
presently is. Yeah, makes
sense.
I just have a quick question.
Yes, please.
For something like replacing the interior lights with LED.
Yeah.
I noticed that it's all lumped together in 1 year. Is there anything that would prevent us from maybe doing it in 2 years, like the first floor 1 year and the second floor another year or anything?
Yeah, certainly you can do that, for sure. There is economy of scale associated with that, but if you're doing, the key is that you want to do a sufficient amount of area at that point. And as you described, say all second floor, or, second floor, part of first floor, and then another, those are going to be plenty big enough, in my opinion. I would also warn you, and I've been warning everybody kind of lately, there are a lot of companies out there that are selling some cheap light fixtures that are approved by ComEd. So the approval by ComEd is only an approval that they use less energy. It's not a approval of quality. It's not approval of anything other than energy usage. And I've seen a number of clients, libraries and otherwise, who have kind of gone on the path of, oh, this guy says he can come in and just replace the guts in the fixture, and not the fixture itself, but just replace the guts in the fixture, and it's really cheap stuff, and in 2 years they're looking at replacing light fixtures. It's really a bad situation, because you're buying LEDs because they last forever kind of attitude, right? And then here it's not working out because they're... the other thing I've seen is that there's so many manufacturers out there, they replace with light fixtures, and then it's not a ballast. Ballasts are in these type of fixtures, but the drivers. The drivers for the LEDs are proprietary, and that company goes out of business. So then you cannot get drivers anymore, so now you can't repair lights that go bad, so now you've got to kind of replace the whole light fixture. So staying with some really known long-term companies in the industry, you can pay a little bit more, but I think it's totally worth it at that point. That'd be my recommendation on those things. So. There's more than you asked for. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's great information. Anybody?
I just want to acknowledge, I appreciate laying out the information in a coherent fashion, the detail where you want it, the blueprint, I would call it, for the future. It's not just somebody rambling who likes to ramble. This is an expert who's given us an idea of what to look out for, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And hopefully you find it readable and usable. That's one of the things that, if you remember on the front end, we take a different approach to these. Our reports aren't terribly long, but we give you what we believe is the most important information in a readable fashion that's usable for the next several years. So hopefully that's the case.
Definitely the most effective way to communicate.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay. Thank you for the information.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Yep,
thank
you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great night, John. We'll be in touch.
My wife would appreciate that.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay, so it looks like we need a motion to approve the capital needs assessment. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trustee Vaccaro, I make a motion that we approve the capital needs assessment as we've discussed.
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Olson. Is there any discussion on this?
Welcome. Boyer, absent, Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
May I make a comment, please? Now that we have a good picture of what our capital needs are, and they're not really, in my opinion, improvements, but rather maintenance of existing, because it doesn't include equipment needs and that sort of thing, furnishings and whatnot. I think it might be a time to start considering having a building committee, or for the board to start meeting as a committee of the whole, as part of our board meetings, to start laying out how we're going to address this. We have $3 million that over 12 years we're going to have to seek sources of funds for. And I think unless we do it on an organized fashion, we may not get through what I'm going to call a 12-year cycle. It's something that we need to start planning for. We have to, at the moment, to have excess availability of funds, but not nearly what we're going to need for this type of project. I don't see as a source, or even if we were to solely devote, and we really can't do it, the additional taxes that we would derive from the TIF at Brewster Creek Tax District, that would only provide us $200,000 to $250,000 a year, and that would, you know, as our library moves forward, as our community needs change, as we change staff, what we're doing with resources, I don't see that kind of money being available in our normal budget. And so I think that we, as a board, need to start thinking about how are we going to address that over the longer term. You know, are we at some point going to need to go to the public and ask for a tax increase or a referendum? Those are the questions that we're going to need to explore. I think this is the first step of where do we go to maintain what we have. Thank you.
This is Trustee Vaccaro. Is there any way that there can be like grants out there that money can be found for doing, you know, it's electrical or whatever, certain type of things?
There's the public construction grant, but that's for new building mm-hmm. or renovations. But we can always search for them. I mean, I think really what the game plan should be is to spend very conservatively, and at the end of October, when we have our excess funds, that we're making sure that we're committing that money to the special reserve fund. And then we look at each year, figure out what's doable, what we can do, and then try to keep saving for the long term as well. I don't believe that this community is going to be receptive to a referendum.
And at this point in time, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Madam President, I would suggest that probably this should be on the agenda for maybe the November meeting, where we have time to, the staff has time to go over this, we have time to go over it, and we can discuss it as part of the agenda at that time, rather than taking up tonight's meeting, when we just dropped in our laps.
Yeah, I agree with that, and the audit will be done by then, right? Okay. So we can add that. Okay. Approval of tentative budget and appropriation ordinance 2022-3.
Yes, so there are two versions. The first one was a recommendation of $25,000 to be transferred into the special reserve fund. And then Trustee Olson had requested that that amount be increased to $500,000. So we did two drafts, one for each way. And then the attorney sent out an email. And basically, from what I understand the email to say is that there's no pro or con to it. It's at the discretionary of the board in what they determine to be what their comfort level is regarding the funds. So I am leaving it all up to you.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the tentative budget and appropriation ordinance 2022-3 with the amount of $25,000 in it, because we do, it does provide the board with the discretion to spend more money if it's needed.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. Trustee Dean.
Discussion. Trustee Olson.
The reason that I wanted to suggest that we use a $500,000 figure was that we are going to have a black box tax levy this year. I believe Carolyn indicated that the percentage is 16.1.
0.3.
Okay. And I think if we, you know, right now we have an amount in our surplus that would allow us, and this is really, you know, where I was coming from at the July board meeting, as far as setting the goal for surplus funds, that we can demonstrate to our public that we in fact are planning for our capital needs. It is going to show up in the tax levy as $500,000 being reserved. And I think would make it more palatable to a lot of our public.
Is there any other discussion? Roll call on Trustee Barry's motion on the table.
Size?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Carl, yes. Olson?
No.
Danny?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
And we can always just review it later if we want to add more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like in November when we
After the October meeting, when we have a better idea of how much excess we have, then we can always do that transfer. It doesn't matter. I mean, just because we don't put it in there doesn't mean we can't do it.
Right.
And our goal is to do it.
The money is always there.
Correct. Okay, so the next thing is that we're going to establish the date and the time of the public hearing concerning the budget and appropriation ordinance. So that is going to be set for September 19th at 6:45 p.m.
motion?
Yes.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll move that we hold the public hearing on our tax levy on the 19th of September at 6:45 p.m.
Thank you, Trustee Olson. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Trustee McConnell. Is there discussion on this? Okay, roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
McCarver, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Haney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
Okay, approval of the Chief Fiscal Officer Statement of Estimated Revenue. Trustee Olson did sign off on this. There were two versions. One version had the $25,000 amount. The second version had the $500,000 amount. So we want to make sure when we're motioning that we motion to approve the one with the $25,000. And that document matches the first page of the tentative B&A.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Berry. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Daney. Is there a discussion on this?
Sias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
McCarver, yes. Olson?
No.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
Okay. Approval of Statement of Cash Receipts and Disbursements, the Treasurer's Report.
I don't know why I put that it needed to be approved at the October 17th board meeting. So I think we can go ahead and approve it tonight. And then if there's any changes with the auditor, then we can make an amendment to it. Or we can wait until October. I just wanted you to have the information. So it's up to you. We can table it or do it now.
Well, is there going to be any change?
I don't think so.
We can always do it by that. Mm-hmm. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve?
Sure. This is Trustee Daney. I make a motion to approve the cash receipts and disbursements for fiscal year 2021-2022.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I'll give that one to Trustee Picaro. I heard her first. Any discussion? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Picaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
Approval of the annual IGLA report.
I forgot my copy.
I got it. You want to take
it? Oh, no, I got it. Okay. Thank you. I apologize that the first version that I downloaded and sent out to you was not full with the data. It did not download. But the second version did go through. There is one question that I did not answer because I was waiting for some manager feedback, and that was in relation to the staff training hours. So we're gathering that information, and I'll email you all when I get the current figure. But everything else is pretty straightforward. Trustee Olson emailed me about his phone number being wrong. So I have a note to correct that, and I'm sure that there's other comments.
Anyone have anything? Entertain a motion to approve the
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Sias. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Daney. Is there a discussion on this? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
McCarver, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
Okay, and your request to change the...
Yeah, so I was going to go on a honeymoon and go away for my 50th birthday, but I found out today that that week, I think it's going to be like the 15th through the 21st is the election week, and I don't want to be gone for that because that's when everybody will submit their petitions in, and I don't feel comfortable leaving that in our capable staff's hands, so I will be here. So this can be ignored.
Okay. Discussion items, parking lot?
Parking lot update, we already kind of discussed regarding the ramp and the installation, so I'm waiting to hear back from them.
And director's report, information only. Does anybody have anything else from her report that they would like to discuss?
I do have one item for new business.
Okay. New business.
So as many of you may know, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, and the Chamber of Commerce are organizing a really cool event in October. I don't remember the dates.
September 30th and October 1st.
September 30th and October 1st. And I received a call today from one of the chair people or somebody who's on the committee asking if the staff would like to participate in some venue. And I expressed that we were really short-staffed right now. And then it was discussed that the village of the Bartlett trustees are taking a beer pouring shift. So if the Bartlett Public Library trustees would like to volunteer for a shift, we can have you guys do that and get you out there, and I think it'll be helpful to the committee.
I'll be traveling.
Well, I know you're going to be out of the country, but anybody else interest?
Well,
I'll be there.
Peggy's going to
be there. I'll
be there,
so yeah, I might as well pull beer.
Maybe, yeah. All right, then I will let her know that we will do a shift.
Town hall. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Trustee Vitaro. I assume there's no discussion on that. So, roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Vitaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Deany?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yep. We are adjourned at 7:50. Thanks, guys.